The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
Adrian Groenewald, Leadership Platform, with me in the studio. I'm so glad we got a rose amongst the thorns today. Four men, heavyweights in their own right. I mean, in terms of experience, nothing else. It's good to have you with us, Rich Simmons, Herman Mashaba, our special leader guest today. And we've got Chadwick from Sibanye Gold, SVP there, and Louis Groenewald. And, anyone want to quickly say something about what Gordana shared with us all the way from Sweden? Herman, maybe you must. I mean, she kind of brought you in there, didn't she?
Well, I think...
You're a legend.
I'm obviously embarrassed from time to time when, obviously, I think I'm really referred in that manner. But, look... It's life, and one has to really accept and appreciate, obviously, the recognition and so forth. So, yeah, I think really, the issues that she's raised are very fundamental. Fortunate enough for me to really acting on the instinct has been part and parcel of my life. And I think that's something that I try as much as possible to encourage other people to actually think that way. You know, we spoke earlier on about people in our country being forced or being coerced or whatever to really be part of a collective. You know, that's where, unfortunately, your personality is obviously taken away from you. And I think that's why I violently resist being put into a collective camp. I really and truly refuse to really be, because otherwise you'd really take my personality away. Mm. And that's really the challenge that we face as society, as a country, where we're not really allowing our people to really be the best they can be. If you want to really have a dynamic nation, you want to really be successful in everything that you do, you've got to really allow human beings to be human beings. Let them really to go out there and exploit their God-given talents. You can't really, people can't exploit their God-given talents when they are confined to certain protocols and so forth. So I think it's actually a tragedy what we're doing in our country the last 20 years. And I think the sooner we really deal with this matter and recognize that it'll destroy us as a society, as a country.
Give us freedom so that we can enjoy our instinct, shall we?
I must admit, Arden, there's two concepts that you shared here that I try and live by. One is never doubt yourself, and the other one is gut feel. You just reminded me about something that Nelson Mandela said some time ago about gut feel. And I can't remember exactly the exact words, but it's more or less in line with what she said. It is never wrong. When it feels wrong, it's wrong. When it feels right, it's right. There's one thing that she's highlighted here that I've never actually thought about in that way. I sometimes do. It's the issue about failures and using failures as feedback to help you move forward from there. Use it as a learning point almost, if you like. Mm. It's something that I must admit I've taken out of the what she's just spoken to us about.
Yeah, she did bring another angle to that, Rich.
Yeah, I think just jumping on what Adric said there about the feedback and the failures. I was with a client this last week and they said to me, how are we going to recognize our staff? And I said to them, well, you know, don't recognize people for what they're paid to do. Recognize them for what they're doing differently. So, you know, if you've done something really bad, let's recognize it. So that other people will see the example, learn from your, you know, because there's good in bad. You know, you've always got to recognize the good in everything. So someone's failed. Let's look at what he did and what he learned. So and then, you know, the interesting thing about sort of recognizing failure is people aren't going to copy that. They'll copy, you know, if you've made your targets and how did you do that, we'll copy the way you did your target because it might be seem as a shortcut. But if you recognize in failure, people are very unlikely to follow the failure. They'll just take the learnings from it.
Mm. Okay. Louis, final comment, then we zoom in on Herman.
Yeah, I think... Gareth Cliff asked him once about his shows because he's got some quite remarkable shows and some of them are different, to put it mildly. But he was saying the thing he appreciates the most is the authentic nature of the people on the shows. Now, this is really what we speak of. We also speak leadership platform of the inner self, you know, often we use a term to find yourself. And a lot of leaders we had the show said you need to know yourself. And this is often a spiritual and religious connotation to it. And the people that know themselves the best in that sense have a humility and a passion. Life becomes more simple and direct for them. Appreciate that. So the idea of getting to know yourself is very much an intuitive journey as well.
Nice point. Herman Mashaba, founder of Black Like Me, but he's done much more than that. Herman, just in essence, what takes up most of your time these days?
Well, Adrian, you know, something that I never thought would really be part and parcel of my life, but you know, I accept what it's been really presented to me. So the last few years, I've really spent more than 50% of my time call myself a social activist, really using my privileged position because, you know, I made this commitment to my children a few years ago that over dinner, you know, I don't want to say, I said to them, I said, guys, I don't want one day to say to you that I saw what was happening and I did nothing. Because I grew up really being unhappy with my parents and my community for having let things really roll for so many years, and really, what do they do? Very, very little. And I said to myself, look, you know, let me make a commitment for my children that I will try. If I fail, at least I would have failed after having really tried. And I think I'm in that fortunate position that I can really play that role in really facilitating some of the discussions happening in our country. In particular, I think we need to really protect our constitution. This democracy is it's more than important for the future of this country because there's just no way that we're going to really make it if we're going to interfere with our constitution. And I think those are some of the things that I'm really doing. So I'm really a social activist. I'm really saving. Obviously, I spend just under 50% of my business looking after my investments. But I think what really triggers me, what makes me to wake up every morning is to really do more in terms of really looking after this country's future. And really, as I say, use my privileged position to really be in that space. And I'm having lots of fun, lots of tears, lots of excitement. But at the end of the day, honestly, I'm a really fulfilled human being.
Okay.
I just want to mention the term, we must really protect our constitution, mustn't be lightly taken up. If one does it passionately, you suddenly jump racial barriers and economic and that kind of barriers, you know. If a person is committed to the beauty of our constitution, you suddenly, this is what he's saying, Herman's really saying, you kind of jump over those barriers.
Well, Herman, so you've been allowed yourself to be pulled into things like becoming the chairman of the Free Market Foundation for a couple of years, and you were very active as the chairman there. Fighting government on the minimum wage issue is another social thing that you feel passionate about. I heard you fight hard with Zwelinzima Vardy.
In fact, I think, you know.
But let me just say, you've joined the DA. You've done a lot of things in the last few years that people have picked up on. Some are very happy about it, and some are not. And that's part of being a leader, I guess.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Adrian, you just have to really sit back in this country, really look at our unemployment situation, you look at the inequality, you look at the desperation of our people, you look at how families are breaking up because of this poverty and inequality and unemployment, and you still really debate around minimum wage. What is the minimum wage to the 8 million plus South Africans? I mean, I think it looks like, I have a feeling sometimes, you know, maybe some people obviously benefit out of the desperation and the inequality that debates like the minimum wage obviously are driving. Because once you start really bringing the minimum wage into the debate, you actually doing not really giving poor people and small business an opportunity to kickstart their lives. Because I think I use my own personal journey and reflections, Adrian, is the fact that in 1980, with no real education, with no work experience, working for Spa Pretoria, earning 175 rands a month. And I keep telling people that, you know, if anyone thought Spa exploited me, they made a terrible mistake. Mm. Was I happy with 175 rands a month? Absolutely not.
No.
But one thing for sure, I did not really have the government that determined for me who I must work for and how much they must pay me.
Mm.
Spa, I used and exploited that opportunity. I exploited actually Spa. Because if Spa had not given me that that first step to really climb this ladder, I would probably maybe be in jail, or I would have died, or I would have really been a drunkard or a drug addict. Spa gave me that first opportunity.
And you're fighting government with your own resources and money at the moment on this issue.
Yeah, because unfortunately the Free Market Foundation does not really have the resources to really fight this bargaining council legislation. And I committed myself to the team and our legal team that I will fund this until I have the last cent. Because to win in this case, it's more than important for me, because it will really free up our economy. It will allow small businesses in this country to operate. And I think it's not just really a question of really fighting. It's about really the violation of the constitutional rights of South Africans. Small business, I think, going back to my life. When I started, Black Like Me conceived the idea in 1984, 1985, we started producing in a 200 square meter factory with my wife and two partners. We'll employ one person, second person, and so forth. I did not really pay people on the basis of their social issues. I paid people based on what I could afford. Was I there to exploit anyone? Absolutely not. Battles me for anyone to actually think that a businessman can go into business to exploit other people. I mean, there's just no logic in that. No businessman anywhere in the world would go into business to exploit the next person. So I believe very strongly that, you know, a small business starting out there in Amanskraal has to really be given an opportunity to employ the next guy, as long as I think contractually both of them are happy with the arrangement. Where I need government intervention. If Adrian, I work for you, you promise me you're going to give me 175 rands a month, and end of the month comes and you refuse to pay me. That's where I need government to really come to play, to help with the rule of law. But not for government to determine for me that because you offer me 175 rands and government says you must give me 5,000, therefore I must just stay at home and destroy my family and everyone around. So those are the things that I think for me are so critical that constitutionally, I think they really violate the rights of our South Africans, and I really want to really get this in an open court of law. Let's really debate it and allow our legal minds to really make the final determination whether I'm right or wrong.
That's what you're trying to do. And of course, there's another view to this. I listen to your passionate view. I kind of wonder, Herman, why someone like you are drawn into all these issues. It feels to me like you're in demand in South Africa. And partly because we need examples like you. For example, on the business side, we need black entrepreneurs who started from scratch to go out there and speak with authenticity, as opposed to others who also succeeded, but not like that. Not like a real small entrepreneur building it from nothing to something. And when we have not enough of those individuals, then people like you must step forward to inspire and to become part of the solution. Just quickly, Rich, you wanted to say something, and I'll come back to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, all I wanted to say is I agree fully with Thurman, because a man's dignity is in his work.
Mm.
So taking away that dignity from people by saying they must pay him a minimum wage, that's taking dignity away from people.
Mm. Herman, sorry, you wanted to add there?
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, for me, these issues are really so deep, and I strongly believe who should really do it. I can't really say someone else must be. I believe I have the responsibility as a privilege, because I take myself to be a privileged South African. The capitalist system, the last 30 years, has really given me my freedom, has given me a privileged position, and I think this privileged position shouldn't really be taken lightly. Mm. I believe one has got the responsibility to mankind. I'm a capitalist, and I believe in equality. But the type of equality and economic freedom that I'm talking about, that for me I believe in, it's for people to be given the right, because be given the opportunity. Mm. It's not really about me deciding for other people. I think I just really want to live in a society where South Africans are given equal opportunity. but whether you are really come from Amanskraal or from Cape Town, all of us as South Africans, in the eyes of the law, we've got to really be equal. And I think that is really what the spirit of our constitution, and that's something that we need to really protect. That is the reason why, you know, for me, the next issue that I believe we need to really debate, and debate vigorously, it's about having race-based legislation into the equation. I think all of us as South Africans 20 years ago, we fought the system of apartheid and brought in a new dispensation. And 20 years down the line, my conscience does not allow me any longer to accept South Africans being discriminated on a basis of color or anything else. I believe all of us as South Africans have got to really be equal in the eyes of the law. And start really applying laws that are against our constitution, that are against fair play. Yes, we've really had the historical issues to really consider. Absolutely no one ignores those things. But you don't really address them by violating the rights of others. So what you do, we need a strategic government. We need a government that can think proactively and cleverly. How do you address the issues of the less privileged South Africans, allow the business to operate, allow the economy to grow, let this cake be bigger, government collects more money, build more schools in Amanskraal, in Tembisa, build hospitals so that you can have a healthy society, and have, build roads and all these things. And you can only do this as government if you have a functioning economy. And right now, this race-based legislations are actually destroying our economy. This we talk about sharing a declining cake instead of saying how do we really grow this cake and allow South Africans to exploit it. As long as what you do operate within the confines of the law, I don't really care how many businesses you have. As long as I think you're paying your taxes and you're a committed South African, you are make billions. Absolutely, we encourage South Africans to be billionaires. It'll be lovely. I want to live in a society where the 15 to 2 million South Africans are all billionaires. You know, and we know that is not going to be possible because other people are not interested about being billionaires. But don't stop that one that wants to really make a billion, but he operates within the law. What we do, make sure that we can collect taxes from those so that we can use it for poor communities and poor nations.
The passionate voice of Herman Mashaba. And as we draw to the close of the show, I think, Chadwick, it's a good time to go to your inspirational thought. At the end of every show, someone from Sibanye shares with us an inspirational thought, a leadership thought. And let's see what you have in store for us, and then we'll have final comments from each of our guests, with Herman having the last say.
It's actually quite interesting thinking about this leadership thought and what has actually transpired in this discussion here today. Herman spoke about creating an enabling environment in this country. And I want to take that and just take it down to, let's call it, operational or inside an organization, in terms of, you know, we spoke last week about creating that positive movement.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about the leader as enabler. What is it that we as leaders need to enable? And as I said, I'll just bring it back to what Herman was talking about, is to enable that capacity and that competence within the people that work with us, to for them to reach not only their own personal, but also the company goals and targets. And I think that's the role that we as leaders need to play, is to enable them to do that, is to put the systems, is to put the environment, create the environment where they can actually grow, as I say, individually, but also in terms of achieving the individual targets, but also the targets of what the company is trying to achieve. So I think it's just very apt that we spoke about in creating an enabling environment, and I think the leaders must think about on a daily basis, what do we do as leaders to create that environment for our people to thrive in?
And that's the freedom that comes in, and that's the instinct we speak of, and so many powerful principles touched on today. Louis, your final comments.
No, I'm fascinated and pleased by the quality and the passion of the discussions. Don't want to add to that.
You don't want to add? Well. Passion? Okay, we'll pick up passion from that. But that is the thing we also spoke of in our master lesson, first half of the show. In essence, if a leader loses that source of his motivation or her motivation, and that passion, flame, dies or fades, it's a problem. Rich, final comment?
Well, I just believe we've had an amazing lesson here today, because Herman's example is exactly the responsibility that a leader needs to have. So when you've achieved things and when you realize that you've got followers and you've got people that are looking up to you, you have a responsibility to create social change. And that's what leadership's all about.
Taking ownership. And we talk of seamless leaders, which Chadwick, I'll share with you more in due course as well and with our audience. The book that we're bringing out in March, in fact, is entitled Seamless Leaders. It's the ability of a leader to see much broader, the big picture, than my current responsibility. That's what we're saying. Our society needs that. Herman Mashaba, your final thoughts to leaders out there?
I think, Adrian, as you're aware, I'm not a trained leader. And am I a leader? I don't know. Obviously, I think that's really the impression that people have on me, that I'm a leader. But the thing is, the issue we've discussed the last 1.5 hours is about really operating on instinct. So what I do, I operate basically on a day-to-day basis to really do things that I enjoy doing, things that are important in my life to really do. And then in the process, it's ending up where people obviously regard you to really be a leader. And as I say, I'm not a professional leader or an expert in the subject. But at the end of the day, I believe I do what I have to really do. And that's really what I enjoy most. And actually, it's not a question of enjoyment. It's a question of saying how many you have the responsibility to do those things. Because if you don't, you will be punished. And fortunate enough for me, I don't really fear another human being. I fear someone upstairs. That I run my life based on really doing the right things. So I try very hard to always, whatever I do in life, make sure that I think it has to really be something that I think is sincere, it's authentic, and I try and really live my life within those type of principles and parameters, and not really allow another human being to prescribe to me. There are what we call good law. You know, I operate on the principle of good law. Okay. And really being a good human being.
That's the voice of Herman Mashaba. Thank you for joining us. Herman, whether one agrees with you or not, because when you get involved on these social issues, you'll have many not agreeing with you. The point is, you're a leader because you're creating movement and you're becoming part of the solution. You're on the playing field. We need leaders to go out there, over and above their jobs, create movement there. Make sure in your own life and in your business and in your job, you're creating movement, and then see where you can play a bigger role, create successful movement beyond the boundaries or beyond the confines of where you are currently. That's it. That's the two-hour show we have. Our first half hour from 11 to 11.30 was, and you can download the podcast, Leadership in Education. And the second half hour from 11.30 to 12 was Small Medium Business Leadership. And then this last hour was just a great discussion. First half hour, 12.30, was Leadership Lessons from the SONA, State of the Nation Address. And we zoomed in on Herman Mashaba in the last few minutes. Go to leadershipplatform.com, 2 P's in the middle for all things leadership. Next week, we have an interesting guest. I wonder if he still has his instinct. Shamil Jusup, CEO of Vodacom. I know he started as a little entrepreneur selling samosas in Marabastat, and I wonder if he still has his instinct. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. Stay tuned for Candid Business with Alison Nyandu and Arnie Hicks.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. At Sibanye Gold, we come to realize that there's nothing small about SMMEs, the small to medium-sized businesses that employ millions of people and pay billions in tax every year. Which is why we pride ourselves in providing support, leadership coaching, assistance and advice to help grow SMMEs. You could say we're giving them a golden opportunity to grow. Sibanye Gold. We are one.